Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Well, I think I had my beautiful 6S Plus cell phone a little bit far away from my headset, and I am going to get a new microphone that connects me up, and I don't even have to dial out anymore into my studio. But I love my studio. It does a great job. And I just see that my guest is calling in right now, so I'm going to log him in and then continue with my introduction of my show. Hello. I'm going to – is this Remember Jones?
You got it.
Okay, well, hold on, please, because I'm just still doing my introduction, and I'll get right back with you. All right, folks, so as I was saying that, well, it's another wonderful Thursday, and I welcome everyone to Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style. I hope that you've enjoyed our somewhat of a blizzard out there, and you didn't have to go out and work in it. But in any case, here we are again. And I didn't really get even a minute to talk to our guests, but that happens before the show, but that happens every now and then. So we're just going to jump right into it. And I'm going to say, for those of you that didn't see the promotion, which probably aren't very many people because it was promoted everywhere in the world, my guest this evening is a very talented, I will call him a fantastic front man and entertainer, Remember Jones. So hello,
hey.
Remember Jones.
Hey.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe you were out there shoveling yourself out or something. I was going, uh-oh, I don't want to do a whole 45 minutes by myself tonight. I really don't want to. So I'm so glad that we connected.
That's basically what I was doing. This whole, you know, snow sort of throws everything off, you know?
Yeah, especially for people that have to go out in it. I'm really fortunate. I'm beyond those days of having to go out and shovel myself and get my car, you know, because I'm retired. So I really love not doing that. Plus, I'm not used to doing it because I didn't do it for 28 years in San Diego. Then I'm only back here 12 years now. So, you
true.
Know, it hasn't been too bad. It hasn't been too bad. So,
nice.
So we have another caller on the line, but I don't really take callers because it takes so much time away from the, you know, the program. Everyone says to me, oh, why don't you let people call in, they have questions, and one day I might do that, but I would need a minimum of an hour, and even in studio, it's too distracting. So I want to get right back to you again, because I have so much to talk to you about. I just want to say to the audience, I'm not sure why I ended up at McClune's. Well, I was thinking about it. I went to McClune's, and Remember Jones will have to tell me what date it was. He opened for another phenomenal entertainer, Poindexter. They call him Poindexter. And I think it was my friend Joan who said, Joan Littman of Littman and the Lips. And I think she said, Nancy, I'm going to go see Poindexter at McClune's. And there's another act, too. Why don't you stop by? Come on over. It's going to be a great show. So that's how I ended up there, because I usually only go out when I'm promoting a show. Because I'm not 50 anymore. I love it, but I'm not. So I ended up at and you came on, you know, I was there for your entrance onto the stage. And I have to tell you that I've been around, you know, I say that, for quite a while, and I have seen lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of other artists because I am a musician, a singer-songwriter, guitar player, record producer myself. So when you hit the stage and started singing, I said, wow. That's what I said to myself. And then I said to Joan, wow, and she smiled. And I said, this guy is a great entertainer. And that's what I want when I do go out to see. I want an entertainer. There are people that get on stage and they're fabulous and they're gifted. They're wonderful. But they don't have that stage presence or they don't have that charisma that grabs the audience and keeps the audience focused towards you. And I took pictures of you that night. And I just put one of them on Twitter last night, one of the pictures that I took of you. Because I had, we won't get into that. My computer isn't uploading some photographs because saying it's too big, whatever. But I did last night, was able to get that up. So I got the one of the pictures that I took of you on stage up on Twitter was the, you know, with the promotion. But so, okay, so I'm going to say that, and then I'm going to just say how in awe I was of the show. It was absolutely fantastic. I stuck it in the back of my mind. Remember Jones, and I never forgot you since then. And then, of course, I did enjoy Poindexter very much, very much. He was really very dynamic entertainer as well. So it was 100% for a number 10 night. But I want you to talk, and I have one question, and then you can say, then we can just chat. And I will try to shut up. I have my chatter teeth in front of me. Just tell me, I have these chatter teeth. They wind up and they chatter. It's supposed to remind me to not talk so much. It doesn't usually work. Okay. The question is, who inspired you the most when you were growing up and why?
Interesting. I think... Yeah, I'm an old theater kid, which I'm sure you could tell when you see the shows. But I have a lot of inspiration from people like Ben Vereen, different Broadway front men who are really charismatic and playful and, almost master of ceremony type performers, which I've always really liked. And that was an interesting segue into the music and rock thing for me as a kid, too. I started latching on to Roger Daltrey and Freddie Mercury and Joe Cocker and Tina Turner, Aretha Franklin,
right.
Just people like you said, who hit the stage and were just dynamic in all ways, and just their natural energy came from their stage presence. You know, almost their singing was secondary to the persona that they portrayed on stage. And I'm not really sure, you know, people were maybe looking at Batman and Superman and all these comic book fantasies, and I was looking at the fantasy of these front men and women. So that was it for me.
You know, I'll tell you, Glenn, I connected with every single artist that you mentioned, and I agree with you 100% about their stage presence and their charisma and how they just stepped on that stage and you were wowed, immediately wowed from the beginning. And my first person that did that for me, person that did that for me, there were actually two. One was a group and then one was a female singer. I'll just say, of course, the Beatles, watching them step on stage of Ed Sullivan. That was, like, incredible for me. I remember that. I was in high school. And then the second person that really did it for me was Judy Garland. And I saw Garland on TV. And I nearly fainted when I saw her because she was just phenomenal. And my parents had actually seen her live at the Berkeley perform. She used to perform at the Berkeley Carteret Hotel in Asbury. And I want to say this to everyone. I want to say that Remember Jones is just another phenomenal, artist out of Asbury Park, New Jersey. Hello, Asbury Park, because I'm from Asbury Park as well. And so there's so many there's great talent everywhere, but we sure do have our fair share of fantastic artists that came out of Asbury Park. That's a given. So getting back to you and your music, and your acting career. I was also interested in the acting career. And, you know, I unfortunately, my printer's down. So I usually have, like, a bio on the side of me, and I didn't have the time. I'm in a movie right now myself. I'm filming, and I'm doing all kinds of things. And I usually have something down so I can say, okay, well, what about this? And unfortunately, I couldn't print out your bio. And what I did was I actually had to take pictures of it on my phone to even read it. Oh, it's so silly. My computer was in China, so I just have to deal with it. So I'm dealing with it okay, but and I also am cutting back on my promo on my Ryan Rocks page, my studio page, because for most people, that they don't really see it from my Ryan Rocks page. So it's just too much. It's too much work. So I tell people now, go to my Nancy Ryan or my Ryan Rocks page to really learn all of the details about, you know, my particular guest. So I don't even have it in front of me now, which was a goof up on my part. But tell me, please, about, like, how you – okay, so were you acting first and then gone into music, or was it kind of a simultaneous thing?
a little bit simultaneous, but I guess I jumped onto the theater world first. I grew up just really loving music, and my family were not musicians, but music fans and lovers. And you know, I remember clearly when CDs started becoming a thing and how quickly my family, you know, segued from vinyl and cassettes to CDs, and we started collecting and listening to all of the influences. And I loved what they were calling oldies at the time. You know, I don't know what oldies are now, but then it was the,
right.
You know, 50s. It was the 50s and 60s. But I loved that, and I loved the sound of Lieber and Stoller and the Motown sound, where there was so much character and personality in all these songs. And that's
right.
I fell in love with singing like that, and then theater just became the easy outlet for me in school. And I did a few shows in school before I started doing community theater and then eventually professional theater while I was still in high school. So it was like a little bit of both. And then in my high school years, 16 or so, I started doing cabarets in New York City where I was kind of fronting my own shows. And I was at the time the youngest cabaret performer in New York with my own shows at 16, which was, it was interesting. Yeah, I think the club owners didn't realize at first how young I was. And then when I was selling tickets,
they
sort of let me do it.
And said, come back at 18?
No, I mean, thankfully, yeah, the tickets were selling, so they let it happen, you know.
That's good.
Yeah, it was good. And, that was probably the beginning of my segue into original music and being a part of bands and, you know, writing with different people and collaborating. So I've been performing theater since I was about 12 years old, and I don't get a chance to do it as much lately, but I really, really, really enjoy putting on a production or being a part of one.
Right, of course. Well, I thought, you know, it's funny, I'm remembering when I was in high school, a sophomore, I went to Asbury Park High School, actually as a sophomore. I'm remembering when I went over, I was a junior actually at this time, to Shore Regional High, and it was a brand new high school, and I joined the drama class. And I was already had been singing like my whole growing up years from, I don't know what grade, second grade on in the choir, because I went to Holy Spirit Grammar School. And I was my mother was a singer. And so I became a singer. And I thought that I would want to do some acting then. But then when it came right down to it, I kind of chickened out. And so I just stayed in the background and I helped out with what needed to be done, you know, like just all, getting everything together for the stage, and I was more of a stagehand than, I think I was in one show before that, and I was in grammar school, and that was kind of really a goofy, very goofy and not great experience for me, so I got turned off, and then I, well, whatever, it's not about me, but we'll get right back to you again now. I always talk about myself in my shows, I mean, that's part of it, but, I always admire, someone that is so, like, multi-talented, you know, that does so many different things. And it's because I think we're people like, that really stretch ourselves. It's just like you're not just focused on one particular thing, and that's all you do your whole life. It's like it's like you have that sense of adventure and that I'll call it lust for life, or you really just the excitement, you know, the excitement of creating things. I mean, I've written, you know, I'm writing a book. I've written over 100 songs, and Okay, not going to do that. I want to talk to you about I read about it, that I was, you know, I remember that you said that you had the longest running, I guess, production at the Paramount Theater in Asbury Park. So can you tell me, our audience, about that and what that was? Because I really never saw that play.
Oh, well, believe it or not, it was the Baronet Theater, which is not here anymore.
Baronet. Oh, okay. Okay.
A great story of that. In New York in the 90s was a show called Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which eventually became a successful film and has been since brought to Broadway. Neil Patrick Harris starred, and it won a slew of Tony Awards, and it's touring right now. It's a huge success now, but back in the late 90s.
Oh, yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a great, great, great show. And I had seen it in New York, on the Lower East Side, and it was actually the Lower West Side. you know, really seedy type of production, and that was why it was there. You know, it was about a transgender rock and roller, and very in the vein of Ziggy Stardust and things like that, but really progressive and wild. And a lot of celebrities had gone down to this sort of seedy theater to see this show, and it became such a hit. I always thought it should be brought to Asbury Park, because we know what Asbury Park was like in the late 90s and the early 2000s. People were still afraid to come and park their car. So it was a really unique experience walking into the Baronet Theater for the first time. They had recently reopened and started showing kind of grindhouse horror movies. And at the time, I had just directed a few successful productions of Hair, and we had done a big production at the Count Basie Theater that had sold out a few nights, and I had worked on directing parts of a documentary featuring a lot of the original cast members of Hair and things. So I was really into directing theater at the time, and I walked into the Baronet out of curiosity to see what it was like, and I met with the property manager at the time, and I literally put my foot through the stage. I mean, this place was falling apart, and it was hilarious. And the minute it happened, I said, I want to do Hedwig and the Angry Inch here. And the property manager at the time said, let's do it. Let's get this going. Let's see what we can do. Let's fundraise. Let's apply for the licensing and rights. And it at the time became the first production of Hedwig and the Angry Inch since the New York revival. And it became a long-running thing for us. We had only done a few performances a week because we had no idea what was happening, and tickets were only $10 because we wanted to try and get people through the door. But it just became successful and ran from – this was 2007. It ran from April 2007 to July 2007 with just a few performances a week, and it was a really successful thing for us. And, you know, we had a few things planned after that, but unfortunately the Baronet Theater closed with our set still up. destroyed.
Well, you got to do it there. Now, I noticed in Asbury Park, when you go, like the Asbury, that's, you know, been renovated, that building set was empty forever. I don't know for how long, but forever. And on the very top of the building, on the side facing the ocean, it says Baronet. So was that the Baronet there? Was that where it was, or was it someplace else? Or was there another
Baronet
theater?
Very close. The Baronet was actually next door to the Fast Lane. So going from the beach, it was the Baronet Theater, the Fast Lane, and Asbury Lane on 4th Avenue.
Okay.
They got rid of the Baronet, I guess, first. Actually, there was like a building and a parking lot. It's a parking lot now, but there was some abandoned building next to it. They tore down, then they tore down the Baronet, and then they tore down the Fast Lane, and now we've got Asbury Lane sort of being renovated right now.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'm glad to see that's not going to go. Okay, well, speaking of fabulous, wonderful frontmen and the most, creative mind, you know, genius mind, last night I was watching one of my favorite artists of all time, David Bowie, Man Who Changed the World. And this is the second time. I picked it up at the library, and I said, I know I've seen this before. And it really wasn't that long ago. It was after he passed away I had watched it. So he hasn't been gone that long. And so the minute I put it on, of course, and the minute I saw the first 2 seconds of it, I said, yes, of course you saw this. And I watched it in its entirety again, hanging on every moment. I didn't meet him personally, but I stood about a foot away from him backstage at the Madison Square Garden. And I was trying to think what year it was, and I think it had to be 1974 or 5. So it was probably 1974. And I just, even then, seeing him, but I had a lot of opportunities that are going down in my book. I've been backstage with lots of iconic artists of my generation. And but I never, even the ones that I met and spoke with, I never said a word about my being a musician or a singer or a songwriter or anything like that. I just was just a person that, you know, that likes music. But anyway, getting back to you, that he was just amazing, just amazing. And I'm sad that he's left us now. I haven't heard his last CD, but they say it's almost eerie. It's like he knew he was going to die. So he had cancer, so he knew he was going. So
sure.
It would be interesting to hear his last piece of work. But you're one of those, Anthony. No, I'm sorry. I almost did it. No, I take it back.
We could talk about that for sure.
Talk about what? Your name?
Well, we could talk. Yeah, you know, a lot of people are. Remember
Jones? What does Remember Jones mean? Because a lot of people, including myself, would want to know what does that mean, Remember Jones?
There's a few meanings, and there's a few.
CD?
Well, so it's actually the name of me as a performer on stage. So my stage persona, likened to Freddie Mercury and Tina Turner and Lady Gaga even, or David Bowie even. I've sort of given myself a stage persona that's a little bit easier to the ear and kind of I feel like matches what I've always naturally done on stage more than my own name, Anthony D'Amato. But there is another Anthony D'Amato who's an excellent singer-songwriter that tours a lot, and we've jokingly talked about collaborating a bit, but it started to get, a little confusing for people. And I knew I could do the theatrical frontman thing that I always wanted to do by putting a name together. And I kept saying I wanted a name people would remember and something that would stick with people. I thought, how cool the first name is Remember.
It's very unique and different, I'll tell you that. And people don't forget it, really. Oh, and I'm remembering now, like, you're saying something that you tried to work it out with another person that was kind of a frontman. Man, like, David Bowie did that, too. He tried to collaborate with some other very, I forget their names, but when I saw them, I said, oh, yes, I remember those artists. And he got two very famous frontmen together and put them all up. They were all up front, instead of just one upfront man in the band, and it did not work.
Right.
I mean, it fell to pieces because it doesn't work. It's got to be one. I believe it's just got to be one, And he was so. There's no competing or comparison. There's no. You can't. Everybody's unique, and anyway. But I have it sitting here. I brought it in here so I would mention David Bowie. Pretty awesome, unbelievable character of a guy, and so loved, so wow. All I can say is wow. And so you've got that wow factor. But what are you planning for your future? I mean, I know that there are people very interested in helping you along with your career, but I'm not going to talk about that on the air because it's not available to the public. But what are your kind of like immediate plans to continue to, of course, play and your great band? Are you planning any tours or, are you planning to do any more stage directing?
This was a really, 2016 was a really successful year. We recorded a great album called Ladies and Gentlemen, Remember Jones. And, which was excellent. We recorded that live, actually, in front of a studio audience at the Strand Theater with a 25-piece band. We had sort of a soul orchestra. So my band is a collaborative group of friends. We have, understood that we play just so well together and we work so well together and create so well together that it's Remember Jones has sort of just become the face of the band. And it's kind of great, behind all of these successful musicians that we know were amazing musicians and producers that they collaborated with to create the sound and the look. And so we decided after this year, we toured twice and did a few great things where right now we're writing our next album, which we hope to have released before the summer. And we've been spending a lot of time and it's been a lot of fun, and I'm really, really, really excited for people to hear this next step. And I think after making such a big splash, Remember Jones is only 2 years old, after making such a big splash and doing some successful things and selling out many venues, I think people are really anxious and looking forward to see how the evolution of this project comes along.
But definitely, yeah. 2 years is not that's very. You're still in your infancy stages, actually. If you really think about it, 2 years is not a long time. That's like a breakout or break loose. You know, you're getting to really get it together. No matter how talented you are, it takes time to have that you know point where you stop at the right moment. Everyone is really in sync. So, and yeah, your band is phenomenal. I mean, you know, my friends that stayed New Year's Eve, you played at the Asbury New Year's Eve. I couldn't stay because they had absolutely no seating whatsoever. And I have a bad back, and I, you know, thought there would be tables or chairs or something because they had food. So I had to leave. So my girlfriend and I left and went to a few other clubs that night. But my friend was just overwhelmed. He goes, "Oh, my God, this is the greatest band that I have heard in forever." He said everyone was up on their feet from the moment you went hit the stage till, you know, you got off. And that is definitely a good sign of a good band, you know. So, of a great band. So,
this is a great band.
I need to get a copy of your CD. I need to get a copy of your
You don't have
two copies of your CD. No. No, I don't.
All right, well.
No.
We'll get it to you.
Yeah, we'll work it out. I'll text you a message if you wouldn't mind just dropping it in the mail. I don't know, you know, when I'm going to be in Asbury again. When the film is over, I'll probably be going out, but I have not been doing anything but learning my lines and going every Saturday to do my part. So, and I'm looking at two other films that I might consider doing. I don't know. I went from, you know, singer, songwriter, guitar player, record producer, executive record producer, 4 years into it'll be 5 years in radio, September 13th, to writing my book, and now to a speaking actress. I don't even know if you call it an actress anymore or an actor, whatever, but, and it's really fun. I thought, oh, I'm not going to be able to do it. I won't ever remember my lines. I was terrible at that in school. I hated memorization, and Catholics were really big on that. You know, the nuns, they were really big on learn, you know, 2 pages of geography, and then, okay, you know, recite the third paragraph, and they'll tell you 2 words. I mean, forget it. But I'm really learning that it doesn't work that way in movies. Because I've been an extra in several movies, so. But I didn't know, like, how demanding it would be, and I found that I really am enjoying it and doing very well. I'll give it a shout-out while I'm at it. Then I'll get right back to you. It's a movie called Bats of Life, and the producer and director is Sean Guess, and we have a Facebook page, so you can just go right on it, and you can get daily, you know, you can get, like, kind of clips and weekly photos of what's going on behind the scenes. And so it's going to be really a nice film, a great film. So we're having a lot of fun
doing it.
And we're hoping people are going to enjoy it. And that's that. Yeah, it's very exciting. It really is. So, and new. And so I like to, like, I'm stretching myself. It's like, at first I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, I don't want to even, I'm like, oh, no. But anyway, you know, if you didn't get the butterflies or a little bit nervous, I think there would be something wrong with you.
Oh, yeah.
Once
sure.
I get to see, I'm one of those people, too. And everybody, I get people calling, when are you going to perform? When are you singing? When are you singing? What? What's up with you, Nancy? And I'm like, well, I don't. Bob Holden calls me up on the stage. We do an 8-minute song. You know, like, I sing with everybody. I've sang with Bobby Bandiera, Slim Chancellor. Yeah, every band. I've sang with so many people, John Eddy. I sing with everybody, but I don't have a band, you know, and I'm a troubadour. I was, like, singing in the streets at 18, from 18 on, and at parks and stuff like that, and in cafes. Like, you know, I was a solo act. So,
sure.
And then, well, I'll be like, get back to you, back to you. So, but I am one of them, too. I'm Willie Niles. I got up there and did Blues Like Shoes with Lily Nile at Supper Club, and people were asking me for my autograph, and then they go, "Were you part of that act? Was that a surprise?" I said, "It was a surprise, yeah." But I said, "No, I'm not part of the Lily Nile band by any stretch of the imagination. I love them. I love them. I just had Johnny Pye on my show last 2 weeks ago, so he's a phenomenal artist as well." So, getting back to you, Remember Jones. Let's see, we've got some good time going here. So, you grew up in Asbury, but you also lived in Chicago, Illinois. How long did you live in Chicago, and what did you do there?
I lived in Chicago for about 3 years. I had another band that I was working with there. I was singing lead vocals and writing and producing the album with them, and You know, unfortunately, like many of these situations, it didn't really work out, but we made a nice record. And I was in Chicago. I helped to launch a theater company that's now doing some really successful productions and is reputable in Chicago. And that, it was just a great experience. I mean, really, at the time, it was me wanting a big change and looking for some great opportunities. And the band project was calling, and I decided to, on a whim, to kind of make it happen. It was
right.
really exciting. One of the exciting leave the nest kind of things. And I learned a lot about myself, and it helped me, to be honest, it helped me develop this persona, this Remember Jones thing, which was very, very cool. It was a good time for me. I love that city. And we've actually, with Remember Jones, went back twice this year and sold out there. You know, in a city that Remember Jones is, I wasn't Remember Jones then. You know, I had friends who have supported and collaborated with me since, but it's been great to go back to Chicago. We're going back there in April with our Mad Dogs and Englishmen show.
Right.
So it's a good home base for me still. I've got a lot of great friends. I love that city. I've lived in Philadelphia. I really like that city too. But you know, Asbury Park is just booming and progressive and cool, and it's been a great base. It's been a great base to start this project up again, and really put myself full force in.
Right. Now, have you given any thought? Have you ever been to or given any thought to going, you know, to Hollywood?
I would love to. I mean, I have some delusions of grandeur. You know, I'd really love to go over there and do some things. And
oh, I wouldn't put it that way. No, delusions of grandeur. No. You got to put that one in your pocket and zip it up, or put it in a zip jacket and zip it up. Because I think that you would fit in you would hit Hollywood like Mr. Hollywood. Come on.
Yeah, I would love to. I love films and always love movies, and I always thought that that's something I could do well. And I am a personality. I feel like I'm a storyteller and a personality before I'm even a singer. So I think that route would be really cool for me someday.
I meant as far as your band was concerned. Yeah, I meant as far as your band was concerned. But, you know, I mean, of course, that's the place, you know, New York or L.A. Those are the two places, main places. Or unless a lot of artists go over to, you know, England, they go to London, they go to another country and get a name, and then they come back famous to the United States. That happens for some bands. I mean, that's kind of it has happened. I mean, it doesn't happen every single time, for sure, but it does happen. So,
well,
this
year we're looking at, hopefully, you know, we've got our toes in the water in both West Coast tour and some Europe stuff. So things are in the works. Whether they'll happen this year or, you know, maybe 2018 for us, there's definitely, that's going to happen for us. And we've done successful tours into the Midwest and back and forth to there. So that's planning. You know, we have two more of those. You know, we try to hit the cities that we've been successful in again, you know, just a few months later. So. And we take 15 people on the road, you know, for people who are listening, maybe who don't know too much about the band. It's a long, Nancy, the first time you saw us, it was small. That Buster Poindexter show, we broke it down a little bit, and I think there were still six of us, but it was small for what we are in our big shows.
Sometimes
12.
It was small. I don't even think you had your female singers there. I don't think they were
we
there.
We did.
It was
right.
No, yeah, it was you and a drummer, a guitarist, and a bass player, and a keyboard player. That was it. I remember.
Yep.
I remember
and
Jones.
Yeah, well, that's.
I can't forget Jones now.
Well, that's the exciting part, too.
You. You're the one who said that you'd be true. Oh, yeah. Last night, and now you forget me. But anyway, so I just break out in tune anytime I want because it's my show. But anyway, you make me happy. I love interviewing people like you. I love interviewing really creative people. It just, you know what it does? It inspires me. That's why I've been
so
like, I mean, this is my giving back period for sure. I mean, I came back here to give back to my mom. I promised her I was living the life in San Diego. I was living the life for many, many years. There, 28 years. Living the life, retired at 55, living the life. And I had promised my mother, I'm the oldest girl of seven siblings, and I said, I'll come home if you need me. And she made that call, so I came back. But you know what? God has a great, and I believe in God. I talk about it on the show. Everybody's entitled to their talk up and do whatever they want, as long as they don't say any. It's a general public radio show. But, you know, he has a great plan for everyone. And it's like I came back here, and when my mother passed away, like I didn't do anything for 4 years. And then when she passed away, I was still here and not really able to go back to my five-bedroom house, not able to go back to that lifestyle in San Diego. So I stayed here. And that's when I got back and did my CD, and I did it with, oh, my God, I did it with John Harrington, who's with Steely Dan, who was my lead guitarist. I did it with Jeff Levine, who was with Hall & Oates, and Billy Joel first, then Hall & Oates, and then played with Joe Cocker until Joe Cocker passed away. And he was my, audio engineer, Organic Sound Studio, throw that out there. He's right below Shorefire in Long Branch. But, and then one thing led to another, and I got asked to do an interview, and my music is still, like, out there going bananas, and I'm not even, doing anything with it, which is horrible. But anyway, that's going to change. That's changing this January. But I became a radio broadcaster. That's what I fell in love with it from my very first interview. I went to New York, and I was interviewed by Joey Reynolds, and I had to bring my guitar. He said, she has to bring her guitar and sing that song, his vision. So I did. And so now it's 4 years later, and I'm just... I got to say thank you to all of my phenomenal guests that I've had on my show, because it has been my pleasure and honor to give back to, like, my community, basically my community of Asbury Park where I grew up. And all of it is for fun and for free. And you can't get promotion like this. You can't probably pay for promotion like this. Bands that are up and coming, they don't have money to spend on this. So I am happy to do it, believe me. And I get paid back in many other ways. I karma is a really wonderful thing. So I've been blessed in many ways because of what I have been giving. Not that I expect anything in return. Well, I usually do expect. I usually get 2 CDs and comp tickets if they're having a CD release. But that's it. That's about it. And then they get my review anyway. So my reviews are always phenomenal. So here we are. Somebody's calling me on my cell. No, somebody's calling me on my... That can't be. I have to hang up on them. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Well, I'm in the middle of a radio show to my very wonderful friend, Asbury. Asbury is her middle name. So I will call you back. Bye-bye. So anyway, that's my friend Asbury, my best friend. In New Jersey. And I turned the ringer off. It wasn't, I know why it started. It must be, I turned my landline off, and I turned the ringer off and everything else. But when I called you back, it must have reset it and then had it so it was answering again. Technology's crazy. Yeah, I had turned it off. I always do that because I don't want people calling me during my show, but it's all right. It's okay. It's whatever. Worst things could happen, We could be our phone could drop. I did an interview with a radio station called Wild Goo in Texas, and I was so looking forward to it. It was early on after my record was released, and we had this show via Skype, and it was so horrible because it was the worst storm, one of the worst storms. This was like 4.5 years ago. The worst storm of the century in the state of New Jersey, I think. And so everything was going in and out and dropping and going this way and that way, and it was just really bad. Then I had one other show with a very, very well-known comedian. I won't mention any names, but unfortunately she was calling me from California and had terrible laryngitis, and I felt so bad for her. But we did the show because, you know what? Remember, Jones, this is one thing I know for sure. The show must go on.
Yes, that's true. I've been there. Oh, there's many times I feel like I couldn't even get to the stage. Or I was tired, or my voice was tired, or you have circumstances of the day that you just sort of have to put aside to do what you are naturally meant to do, or what an audience pays for. I'm definitely focused on the audience when I perform. It's for an audience. It's for that shared experience. You know, it's not indulgent of me. I'm just doing what I feel naturally has worked with an audience, and I like to keep it fresh and keep it fun and engage. And you know, some things don't work.
And you do.
We learn and we.
And you do that.
You know,
yeah, you do that. That's what I like, too. I get up there and I take over. But I had a friend, he passed away, Dear Ronald. He was the founder of the Good Morning with the Boss Club. And he said to me, Nancy, none of those artists in New Jersey want to sing. They're not going to sing with you. And Forget Your Country, Rockabilly in New Jersey. Well, of course, it's so popular today. But anyway, and this is what he said to me. And I said, you're being really not very nice to me right now, and you're supposed to be one of my best friends. And he said, well, I'll tell you this, Nancy. This is why nobody wants to sing with you. It's so funny. Nobody's going to get you up on the stage. And people did ask me to sing with them. But he was just really busting my chops. And he goes, and I'll tell you why they don't want you up on that stage. Because you upstage every single person when you get on the stage. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to sing bad? Do you want me to not, like, just stand there and not do anything? I mean, I get up there, I walk out. Especially if, well, I tell you, people won't let me bring my guitar on stage, which really makes me mad. But I did it at my birthday party at the Asbury. And I played with one of the best guitarists in the world. My brother, Billy, came in from Vermont. And he was, he's second on the line at Asbury Park. So he played with me, and Paul Whistler played with me, and Joe Arminio, he played sax, and of course I did my thing, and it was great because guitar players, I go, Nancy, you don't have to play guitar. Now, I've been playing guitar since I'm 18 years old, I'm 70 now. What, are you afraid I'm going to, like, you know, I'm not going to, like, upstage you with the guitar, believe me, I'm not. I even had John Hanson redo my, I had him redo my rhythm section. I did the rhythm guitar, and then I said, John, would you redo my six rhythm guitar parts? Because I was trying to concentrate on singing in the studio, and we didn't, you know, we did it live too. Because we're not going to just go do one at a time. You know, the expense of recording.
Sure.
When you're producing yourself, it's very expensive. Very.
Yeah.
So, you know, but
you know,
I give kudos.
Spend a lot of money.
You know, because what you do, like I said, I just what you do is so fantastic. See, I'm just lazy. I can't commit to it. It's like I don't know how else, and especially now in my later life, it's like, but even before that, it's like I could never commit to it. It was like, I don't know how I'm going to feel Friday night. I'm just such a wuss. I'm like spoiled, I guess, or something. I just never wanted to, like, oh, my God, I have to go do that. Like you said, what if I don't feel up to it?
Yeah.
You have to be so, the passion and dedication has to be 100% there. And I was more of a sit home, stay up all night long and have, like, a bunch of drinks and write a bunch of songs, you know, and then record. That's what I like to do the most. And then go out in the streets and sing. But,
yeah, that's great.
So what now? Yeah, that's what I did, and I'm loving it. And people in Europe are asking me when I'm going to sing next and where I'm going to be. And so, I always have to say thank you. I have to say a shout-out, a thank you. Thank you so much to Bruce Springsteen, Land of Hopes and Dreams, to the administrator, because, you know, I promoted you, Remember Jones, on that for the first time. I think it might have been that the first time. Maybe it was last Johnny Pye. Oh, no, I think it was Johnny Pye because Johnny and Willie play with Bruce a lot. And so anyway, this is probably my 11th or 12th group, Bruce Springsteen page, that they all love the groups. They love my show, Ronnie Rocks at Asbury Park Style, because they love Bruce. And, you know, they want to know what is going on in Asbury Park music scene. And if they want to find out about that, well, all they have to do is go on my Ryan Lockett Asbury Park Style page and find out. Or they'll see my event pages that I create, event page, and then I put it on my LinkedIn and Twitter. And then I post it on, like, almost sometimes 100 timelines of groups. Huge. It's huge. So, yeah.
That's right.
So I'm just so happy to be able to do that for everybody.
Yes, thank you for spreading the word.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's my, I really, yeah, I like to do it. I really enjoy doing it. It's tiresome. Sometimes I say, why am I doing this? I already planned my 5-year retirement, September 13th. My very good friend, my very, very close friend, Vinny Lopez, he's going to interview me. He's been on my radio show twice. He came to my studio, to the studio, though, in Trenton when I was doing the live. And I miss the live. I miss seeing the people live. I will have the party of all parties when I retire, if and when I retire at 5 years. I don't know if I will or not. But if I do, I'll have 4 years' worth of the best musicians ever to you know, be there. I'd like to even do a live show, like, on stage. Maybe I'll have you produce it.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Hey,
that's
have
not
music,
a bad
like,
idea.
Music, have you be the director and producer. And then, you know, you set it up like it's like a studio stage. And then you have different
Fun.
Artists that have been on the show that come on. And then they get asked questions. You grab one person from the I'm giving my show away. This is ridiculous.
Nah,
I shouldn't
yes,
do that.
Yeah, keep it a secret.
You know, you'll be on Broadway and I'll go, wait a minute, those people are millionaires now and that was my idea.
It happens.
Yeah, I know it happens. Believe me, I know it happens. It does. Okay, I take it back. No, that's copyrighted. All my ideas are copyrighted. Copyrighted right now in my drawer with my signature on it. It's going to be in the post office tomorrow morning. Oh, God. It's been great having you on. I hope I didn't talk too much. Tell me now.
It was great.
Tell all the audience. I think you got out everything. That's what somebody told me once. A lot of people go, oh, Nancy, come on, you got great stories anyway. When you hit, you know, you got so much to say. And, well, that's because I've lived it this long. And I was really involved in the music scene because of my brother, number one. And, you know, he was asked to be with Bruce, and he didn't. So he went with James Cotton Blues Band as his guitarist, and then he went on tour with Clarence Clemons with Red Bank Rockers for a year and a half. And he is really known as the best jazz blues guitarist in the books, Bruce said it. He said there were many great musicians during the upstage days. And he didn't say any other names, he said, but there was one master jazz blues guitarist, and that was Billy Ryan. So, bro, that's for you, that little shout-out. And, folks, it's been fantastic. I want Raymond Jones to tell you, like, you know, where he – well, you tell them, because I know. I could tell them, but I've been talking too much. Tell them where they can find you.
You can purchase our debut album, Ladies and Gentlemen, Remember Jones, which is a 25-piece soul orchestra doing originals and our own takes on a few covers, brand new arrangements, recorded live. You can get that on iTunes, CD Baby. You could stream it on
Spotify,
YouTube, and things like that. Yep. We haven't announced any local dates. We did a bunch for Light of Day, so we're in the studio and doing some writing. So we will be back on the street, probably in the area in around April or so. But we'll be at Brooklyn Bowl on March 1st and Ardmore Music Hall in Ardmore, Pennsylvania on March 3rd, trying out some new material. And we'll be back in the spring.
Right, right. That's fabulous. That's fantastic. And I want to say, too, that if anyone, you know, out there really wants to find out everything about Remember Jones, you can go and just Google him, Google Remember Jones. It will pop up a lot of different things about this fantastic artist. And you can read his biography in its entirety, which was way too lengthy for me to promote. But you will be as impressed as I was when I read it. And I'd love to see you on the stage, you know, writing a damn, you know, oops, I said the damn word. I look forward, let's put it this way. I personally would look forward to you. I know how busy it is, I don't know how busy it is. I can imagine how busy it is to have a band like that, to promote and get together 25 people to do a show, a live CD like that. But I would love to see you combine your musical talent and writing with your acting ability and write, you know, do a screenplay, a musical. I would love, love, love to see something like that. So I'll be putting that on my prayer box for you for the future, because I think it would be just absolutely awesome. I think it would be awesome. I think to not do it, I think, would be, begrudging us of your super talent. I won't give you a little guilt in there. No, I don't mean to do that. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I had a yogurt. Oh, my God, any time. Are you kidding? I just am like, yeah. Well, I can't say any time because I'm already booked. I am so upset right now. I have, like, unbooked. Booked, and I have such phenomenal artists asking to come on my show there, but they get in touch with me like a month before. They don't realize, wait, I'm booked already, and I have two people that are coming out with huge CDs, and they want releases, and I'm like, I can't do this. I can maybe do a mini promo for them, but I don't know that I can do a radio show for them. I'm already booked, and there are people that I've been watching for years that I have pictures with already that, it's so funny. I'll meet a band, and like Johnny Pye and I talked for years, and then finally he came on when he did his own CD. He did when he was with Willie Nile. It was like, yeah, Willie came on, but then it was like he was so busy with Willie Nile and he never could. But when he did his own CD, you know, what is it called? I had it in front of me. Johnny Pye's Pizzeria, something. Rock Pizzeria. It's like a punk rock. It's Johnny Pye's punk rock pizzeria, and it's great. I listen to it. Yeah, and he's very talented, and he's an actor as well. It's not surprising, but there are so many musicians that are into the acting thing and enjoy doing that too. Multi talented people, and I think when you're on stage, you're acting. You know, you got to be part of an actor, unless you're one of these geniuses. I always say, like Eric Clapton to me. Next to my brother Billy, is one of the greatest guitarists in the entire world. There are other great guitarists too, but like his style, he will stand there. That's it. He will stand there and he will sing and play, and you will be in awe. You will be. And just like Barbara Streisand, she just sits there or stands there, and you are in awe of her talent, of her vocal ability, her God-given gift. And then there are other people like you that I will say that hit the stage. And the last person I'll say that hit the stage that had me, like, really so excited was one of my favorite all-time artists, the very one and only ever, Mick Jagger. And I saw him live in San Diego. And when his foot hit that stage, the audience went berserk. So, with that said, there are not many people that can do that in this world, and Remember Jones is one of them. So if you haven't seen Remember Jones, I put that in my promo, this is what I suggest. I suggest that you go to his Facebook page and check him out there. You can Google him. You can go to the events page. Off of your Facebook, just hit your home page, go to events, click on events, and they'll all pop up. And when you see where he's playing, get there. Go. Do yourself a favor. You'll have a fantastic night of enjoyment, and you won't forget it. So thank you again. My time is up. I've gone over as usual. And, I've got to go because I have a lot of nonprofits to announce. And it's been a great show. Thank you so much, Remember Jones. I look forward to hearing your CD, both of your CDs, the next one too. Good night. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Don't shovel too much snow. You have to be in shape for the stage.
I'll drive.
Okay.
Take care.
Yeah, you can stay on if you want, but I'm going to go ahead with my nonprofits. Thanks to Remember Jones. Go see him. My nonprofits are, and this is, I'm so happy, and I'm looking forward to getting my last one because I only want to do 12, but I have, and they've all been on my radio show, which is just so phenomenal. They are Mr. Steve Brigham of Tent City of Lakewood, Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey, Allison Saho, City of Angels Recovery Radio, Bev Cruz, Hit the Streets for the Homeless, Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes, Carlos Rodriguez, he is the director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties. Paul A. Ressler, he is the president and CEO of TUPAC, which is the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. Holiday Express, founder Tim McClune. Tim McClune, wonderful, wonderful musician, restaurateur, does so much with Holiday Express to help others. My friend Patricia Ario, artist. The Info Age Science History Learning Center and Museum. and Jersey Shore Rescue Mission, Philip Richards, director. I also have my first, I have two sponsorships now for my radio show, which are wonderful, and that is Dr. Ina Silman, Smiles on Broadway in Long Branch, and this is her third office. They do wonderful. She gave me a fabulous Hollywood smile so that I could do my, like, you know, acting now, which is great. And also Route 66 Productions, which is a brand new company that was launched at the Asbury in December. And you can find all about them if you just Google Route 66 Productions. We have a website as well and a Facebook page. Lots of exciting new things are coming up. In fact, I'm going to mention it right now. There's going to be a Ms. Jersey Shore and Mr. Jersey Shore pageants. And they're going to start, well, it's going to be August 12th to 17th at the Paramount Theater. So you can find out all about that. You can even make a phone call for further information. You can call 732-922-3990 or 732-539-6742. But I think the very best way to find out about it is to just go Google and just go to the Route 66 Productions website and you'll find them. Okay, www.jerseyshorepageants.com should tell you everything you need to know. There's going to be a big cash award. $10,000 in cash and prizes to the winner of each pageant. That is pretty awesome. All right, folks, thank you so much for being with me on this very snowy day in New Jersey. One day it's like 50, and the next day it's like 30, and oh, boy, it was quite a windy, windy snowstorm. So stay safe and stay warm. Till next time, this is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it, Asbury Park style. Good night, everybody.